Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor Now. Tonight, we have two very special guests with us. It's our pleasure to let you know about an exceptional movie titled The War Within. It is about a man named Michael Sinclair's dream of a perfect life and marriage, but is upended when tragic events transform his dream into a nightmare. This film, The War Within, is exceptional and powerful. So much so that we wanted our listeners to have the opportunity to learn more about it. So we are setting this night aside to spend some time with two men who helped make this film a reality. Gary Varvel co-wrote, produced, and acted in the film. Brett Varvel is the other writer of the film, and he also produced and acted in The War Within. So without further delay, let's welcome Gary and Brett to Ask the Pastor Now. Gentlemen?
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It's a wonderful blessing. I really appreciate you joining us. And let me let you know at the outset, this is a friendly audience. We're just excited to have you. We think this movie is remarkable. I know sometimes it's easy to get invited to a program and then find out, wrong audience. Not here. We love your touching lives. We love the work you've done. Just a rare talent, and we truly appreciate that. But one of the things we do each week when we begin our program, we have a very special way we'd like to start it with what we call simply the right way. So with that thought in mind, Gary, I wonder if you'd be kind enough to open us in prayer.
It'd be my honor. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to talk about what you're doing within our soul. And as we speak about this movie, The War Within, we know that there are many people out there who are struggling with their own war. We pray that you would help them to see that the answer to their problem is Jesus Christ, and that if they would make him the Lord of their life, then their problems will seem small in comparison to what they are. And Father, I pray that as we discuss this movie, that you would be glorified, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Jim?
Well, gentlemen, would you tell us why you made this film, and did you accomplish your goal of communicating the message?
Well, so the movie The War Within actually began back in 2008. Not many people know about the prequel to The War Within, which is a movie that we produced in 2008 called The Board. It's about a half hour long, short film, and it's the same concept of The War Within. And what we explore in these movies is depicting your soul as six different characters. So we personify mind, emotion, will, conscience, memory, and heart. And in The Board, the gospel of Jesus Christ is presented. We depict them as a group of board members, and they're discussing and debating from an apologetic standpoint the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we produced that film, and we didn't really have any lofty goals with the film other than we felt God calling us to produce it and give it as an evangelistic outreach to our community. Well, in less than a year, that film went worldwide and exploded in South America, Brazil, which launched us into starting a nonprofit film organization called House of Grace Films. But it was in the tail end of creating The Board that God started speaking to me with the reality that my dad and I did not go far enough with the whole concept of the soul and the war that goes on in the soul. And so I started talking to him about some ideas that I'd been having creatively to expand what we started. And in 2009, 2010, we started kicking around ideas and writing basically scenes. We weren't even really writing the script yet. And then in 2010, we sat down and fervently prayed through the creation of the script. We were being fed by sermons we were listening to from our senior pastor. We would get together, pray, study scripture, and just try to unpack the complexities of the soul. And our foundational passage of scripture really was Romans chapter 7 and James chapter 4, verse 1, where the Apostle Paul basically unpacks the reality that why do I do the thing that I don't want to do? And why don't why don't I do the thing that I want to do? And so, and even in the latter part of the passage, he says there's a law at work within my members of my soul, waging war. And so that was kind of where the genesis of the idea came from.
Wow.
And so from there, it was really a labor of love to try to get the script to a point where we felt like it was ready to go into production. We thought we were ready in 2011. And we sent the script off to be critiqued by a script consultant in Hollywood. And he gave us some ideas that we had really gone far enough with in the script. And so we actually sat down and rewrote the whole thing. And it took us a while. And then in 2012, we went into production. And so now being on this side of the movie, the creation of the movie, I can say that I felt like we achieved what we set out to do from a theological standpoint in the creation of the film, but I had no idea what to expect with what we've seen from the response of people seeing the movie and how the Lord has used this film to speak to people's lives.
Well, that's just marvelous. And, you know, I don't think people realize the sheer challenge in writing, but to do something that God's hand is on, I think it almost opens the door for... It demands that much more of you, but you also realize how God will use it, and I think that's just marvelous. Before I get a question going, I want to let our listeners know about something. We truly have been touched by this film. I think it's quite remarkable, and I believe either Gary or Brett will let you know about some very recent openings where you'll be able to access the film. But as a starting point, I want to let our listeners know that if you're listening to the program on BTR, you're probably sitting there with the screen up on your computer. If you look down below, you're going to see a line there that simply says, Order the War Within Today. That takes you to the website where you can place an order for it. That goes through Amazon. We are not getting any money from this. We just happen to believe that it's a powerful witness and a powerful tool. But then in addition to that, if you notice you scroll on down, there's a place where you can sign up for our Right Lines newsletter. If you do that tonight, the very first five people who do that, we're just going to send you out a copy of the movie. We've ordered five and have those available just to communicate that message to you. I think you will be truly blessed by it. So, you know, there's, again, nothing for us to gain from it. If you decide, well, I don't want to be on the newsletter and drop off, you keep the video. We want you to have this film. It's very, very good. So that's just something we're putting out there for you. We believe in the product. It's special. I had a question, though. Something that I always look for, I'm one of those crazy people, when I watch a movie, I stay through the credits and anything extra on the DVD. What I noticed in looking at your credits is that you had a prayer team that was set up for this film. I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit for our listeners.
Yeah, I'll let Brett
take that.
Absolutely.
So we, at the very beginning of the creation of House of Grace Films, we got a team of board members together. And the wife of our chairman of the board, our chairman of the board is Tim Bowling, and his wife Mary has a gift when it comes to prayer. I mean, I know we're all called to pray; we're called to pray without ceasing. But Mary has a special communion with the Holy Spirit, and so we charged her to lead up our prayer team. And essentially, what that included was constantly updating her with prayer requests and just needs that we have about the film. And she would get her team together that she had put together, pray with us things. But then we started developing even a large email list. So we had people definitely across the country and potentially even across the world praying for the production of the movie. And that was evident. You could feel the power of prayer when we were on set. This was very much a step of faith when we were making this movie. It's not a... We didn't have a large budget. I mean, if we were to take this to a studio in Hollywood, the film easily could have cost $10 to $25 million to produce, and we did it for less than $500,000. And so there's a lot of things that we needed financially we weren't able to do, And so we called on the Lord, and the Lord showed up time and time again and giving us exactly what we needed, when we needed it, only in the amount that we needed, and nothing more or less. And that was very much attributed to the intense amount of prayer that we had going on the set.
That's marvelous.
That's phenomenal. You know, my next question is really just a statement. I counted, and I actually ran out of time. I counted 57 names. I think there are somewhere around 65 names, and each of the names has some first names. So it appears to me that you had the biggest family reunion of all times. I mean, there is on and on and on. All these are families, and you'll have a father, a mother, looks like children, and uncles and aunts, and they all, you know, so there are, I counted 57, and I know there were another 8 or 10 at the end. So how did that come about? How were you able to corral that many people that knew each other, and how did that come about?
So this is a work from our church. Brett had the idea when he was in college that he wanted to incorporate as a team, a production team, members of our church as volunteers. And then, although these people have no experience in making a movie, he would train them and teach them. So when we did that first short film, The Board, back in 2008, Brett was 22. He had just graduated from college. And we shot the movie in June, and he got married in July. I mean, that was a busy... That was a big
wow.
For the Varvel family. but our church, you know, once we kind of cast the vision, we talked to our pastor at first, and he was solidly behind it, and he said, you know, we don't have a lot of money to put into it, but, you know, we'll do whatever we can. And so they put a little money into it, and then we just put out the need to the congregation. People stepped up, contributed, and then they contributed their work and their time, and people came, they got excited about what we were doing, because we were doing this for the Lord, and it was evangelistic, and the results are, as Brett said, the movie went worldwide in a year. It was completely of God. I mean, it's not because we're such great filmmakers. The other thing that we talk a lot about is that Brett and I are committed to, when we make a movie, the gospel is the key. Because the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. It's not us. And I think that that's what is the key to the success of The War Within. When we went to the Christian Worldview Film Festival in San Antonio, that would have been 2015, I guess it was, and we swept the category. We won 4 awards. First place awards because the judges told us is that a lot of Christian films will have a scene where the gospel is explained and then that's it. But they said, you guys wove the gospel through the whole movie. And that was kind of our goal.
Well, I think you certainly achieved it. It's very true to life. It's sometimes the experiences are very painful, difficult to deal with, but you handle it in such a way that, you know, I think any family would be comfortable in going to that, seeing it, being blessed by it, and I personally anticipate using it as a tool for helping families who are going through very difficult times. One thing I also have to pick up on is one of our lead characters in the movie is a cartoonist, and in looking for a little bit of background, I discovered, Gary, that you're the editorial cartoonist with the Indianapolis Star. Is that correct?
That's right. There's not a lot of movies about
that play.
So I thought, I thought, you know, there's not a lot of movies that have cartoonists in them. And so I thought, well, we'll go ahead and do this. And it actually adds to this young man's pain when he loses his job. And it's so hard to get syndicated. It took me years and years to become a syndicated cartoonist. It took me years and years to even get a job as a cartoonist. And so we thought we would do that. Also, you know, I told Brad, our family has been very blessed by God. God has gifted us with some specific talents. And I said, let's throw everything we can at this thing. And so that was kind of the genesis for the idea that we would have a children's book in the movie. And it was Brett's idea to animate that children's book. So I wrote and illustrated a children's book called The Good Shepherd. And the Lord has used that book. And young children have come to Christ because of understanding the gospel that's explained in that story, The Good Shepherd.
Yes. Well, let me just follow up quickly. Just a quick question. How can people go about getting a copy of that book?
So the book is available on our website, thewarwithinmovie.com. So that's thewarwithinmovie.com. And you can get the book there. And there's also you can also purchase the animation that we did with the movie. Sometimes kids enjoy watching the book come to life in a different way. And so yes, the book was something that when everyone always tells you when you're approaching a project, you write about what you know, which was part of the emphasis there for Michael Sinclair being a cartoonist was my dad knows a lot about the pain and the victory of cartooning, but what we started to realize was that there's a powerful illustration that we could be including in the movie with this children's book. It's something that the dog would be reading a lot and different things like that. And so, in our earliest version of the script, it was kind of a subtle plot point. It really didn't have a whole lot of impact. And then when we got a lot of critique back from the script consultant, he was saying, you have something special in this book. Play it up more. And so we started praying through and examining what that would look like. And God gave my dad and I both on separate occasions kind of some revelations of how we could use that specific story in a key integral part of one of the main characters' experience of Jesus and different things. And so trying not to give away the movie, but it's an important plot point of the movie. And the cool thing has been, now being removed from the film, my kids are 5 and 3, and so they're old enough to kind of in some ways to understand the poem that's in the book. And so they get excited about, sitting down and going to read about the Good Shepherd, but then hearing testimonies of children who have committed their lives to Christ after reading that book is pretty cool, because we set out just to make a movie that shares the gospel, but then we are now reaching another generation with the book, which is pretty awesome.
Fantastic.
Jim?
There was a powerful statement in the movie that I couldn't ignore. It just spoke to me. It says, "All I see is me." Doesn't that kind of sum up most of our problems, both as individuals, as governments and the world at large? Isn't that a problem, and is that what your message was in that statement?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of meaning back in there.
there is so much.
But, as a political cartoonist, you're absolutely right. A lot of the problems that we see in our country all come from the fact that everybody is so selfish, and it's like our whole world revolves around us. And so we all want our rights. We don't care about anybody else. And because of that selfishness, and we act like a practical atheist, I think it causes so many problems. Even Christians can get so far off track because they put the wrong one on the throne of their heart. And
yes.
That was
yes.
Michael Sinclair's problem. So I'm glad that you picked up on that point. It's subtle, but at the same time, we were making a powerful statement there. If we put Christ on the throne of our heart in our life, that's going to take care of a lot of things that for instance, fear is a big problem. When people go through problems, we discovered that they get afraid, and they become afraid of everything. If we fear God, then we won't fear anything else. But if we don't fear God, we'll fear everything else. And so that was kind of another thing that we wanted, a theme that kind of ran through the story. On the inside, it's something that we may not even understand at the time we're going through it until it gets revealed to us. We've had some tremendous response from people who've watched the movie and then have contacted us and said, you guys showed me exactly what I've been struggling with for all these years, and I never knew.
Yeah.
And so exactly. And Brett's got some of those responses. Brett, if you have something to share, that'd be good.
Well, probably the most powerful response that I've ever received was an email that I received a couple years ago, shortly after the film had come out. And I've never met this man. All I know is his name is Damien. And he sent me this really long email explaining how deeply the film had impacted his life. And how many, he was explaining to me that for years and years he was struggling with trying to understand why he kept falling back into sin, and was he really a Christian, and just fighting these different emotions that he was facing in his life. And he'd seen the movie. He said he saw himself on the screen.
Mm.
And then he ends the email by explaining that he says, I don't know if we'll ever get to meet this side of heaven, but he says, I have a dream that when we all get to heaven, we'll be laying down our crowns at the Lord's feet. And then he says, I just saw this vision of you all who made the War Within looking up, having just laid down the crown of the War Within at the Lord's feet, and then seeing the scores of people that you've never met who've been impacted because of this movie, and that they're here in heaven because of this movie. And
wow.
So I always look at that response sometimes to, you know, in the struggles of life. You know, filmmaking's not easy, but especially Christian filmmaking, but seeing that type of a response, it's the fuel to keep doing what we're doing. That's just why we're doing it. And so it's pretty awesome to see responses from people, because there's a reality that a lot of the things that we touch on in the movie, you got to watch it a few times before you can get in back. Like even the line you were just mentioning, all I see is me.
Yeah.
There's a lot of theological symbolism that we're using there, in that with the light coming through the glass, and in fact, conscience even responds in that scene by saying, you're spiritually weak, and this proves it. And so many people, you know, they try to do so many things in this life. They try to do spiritual things in this life in their own power, in the flesh. And when that happens, we're useless because we're trying to do it in our own power, and thus we're spiritually weak. And
right.
And so it's really rewarding to be able to connect with people that we may not meet this side of heaven, and to see how the film touched them.
Jim, I was going to ask something, but I believe he just touched on the reference to the old nature. So would you like to ask your question you had about the vines?
Thank you. That'd be great. Pastor Charles and I kind of discussed this ahead of time because I couldn't figure out what were the vines. And so my question is, I would like to venture a guess as to the answer of my next question before you answer. What is the purpose of the vines? Is it the cross-pull of all our desires, like selfishness, outrage? I love the way he delivered that line. Outrage, fear, anger, grief, hate, etc., that paralyzes us. And I'd love your response on that. What is the purpose of the vines? And I think we know what it is, and it's not what I just said.
Well, the
you're
vines...
Not, you're not too far off, actually.
Yeah, the vines, you know, in Galatians, the Apostle Paul says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
Yes.
And so we know that, and Brett and I talked about, we need to somehow reveal the flesh and the power of the old nature. And so how do you do that? And so we wrestled with some of that. But there's a verse in James 1, it talks about being dragged away by our own lust. And so I thought that almost to me, in my mind, I picture that being dragged away as like a vine wrapping around you and actually dragging you away. I think in an original version of the script, we actually had like memory being dragged down the hallway by these vines. So we decided to do the vine. It would be an analogy to the old nature. And as the movie continues, they become more numerous. And and I want to give away what happens at the end. But so that was the genesis of the idea that we would use these vines. We wanted to keep it subtle. We didn't want to draw so much attention to the audience. I like movies where I see things and I see the movie again and then I pick up on it. And I always like, you know, questioning, you know, what were they, is this what they intended with that? And so that's what we wanted to do. It was kind of a little bit of a teaser for the audience to cause them to question what's going on there. I think of a scene that, and I don't want to give away too much here, Brett. What I'm thinking though is that what we tried to do in the movie is show that the impact of the vines changes the rest of the soul. And so the principle is that the more we live in the flesh, the more it affects the rest of our soul.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about searing our conscience, for instance. And so what does that look like? And, you think of, I've burned my hand before, and then when it healed, it's like the nerve endings in that one part are dulled. So I'm not as sensitive
yeah.
to it. And I think that the conscience would be the same way. If you continue to deny your conscience and continue to in your sin, you get to the point where it doesn't bother you to sin anymore. We've become desensitized. Mm-hmm. So all of those things kind of go into that, but I'm glad you pointed out that you recognize the vines. It'll be interesting for the viewers, and they go get the movie, and then they'll be sensitive to looking for that.
Well, and it's so interesting because after seeing the movie, I couldn't stop thinking about it. So mission accomplished. But mm-hmm. Pastor Charles is a published author, and we were talking before we went on the air about the vines, and I said, gosh, I would have never thought of that. And I think, Pastor, you said the same thing, but it just thrilled me to imagine how creative that had to be to come up with that as a way to demonstrate it.
Well,
the one thing I was going to say about that is that in my job as an editorial cartoonist, I read stories, sometimes on politics, sometimes on social issues, and then I've got to break that down into some type of visual analogy that people can understand mm-hmm. easily. So I'm almost basically coming up with daily parables for people to get the idea that I'm trying to express. So mm-hmm. since I already am geared to think that way, in fact, in my study, I've understood that that is kind of an Eastern way of thinking. People in the West think more in terms of words, and people in the East think of images. And so obviously for this, we had to come up with some type of image, and what does that look like, and this is what we chose. And those mm-hmm. vines, there are some that were actually special effects, CGI, a computer generated. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them are actually just grapevine that we went out and chopped down and put and spray painted and put them on the wall.
Wow. It worked.
Well, the effects were very good, no question. I'll put this out to Brett. Let me ask you, there's a very powerful scene sitting in church with Michael and his daughter, and he answers this with this line. I want to give you a chance to expound on it. He said, "True faith always leaves a sign." Would you talk about that?
Absolutely. So there's a lot of references in Scripture where we know that we can know who is truly of the Lord by the fruit that is produced in their lives. Mm-hmm. And faith is one of it's such an abstract thing, I think, in American Christianity. It's kind of relative to some people. We talk a lot about it. We say we have to believe, we have to have faith. But faith actually will produce something. If there's nothing being produced in someone's life, if there's nothing leaving a trail behind, that that person has faith, and there maybe not, then maybe faith doesn't exist. And faith, you know, you can go beyond faith in Christ. If someone believes that there is no God, they believe that evolution is true, there will be evidences of that in their life. And so it was important for us to explain, especially later on in the film when you see it, it's important to understand that true saving faith will always leave a sign. And that, because this is something I went through when I was a teenager. So I was saved at the age of 5. But then as a teenager, I started having a lot of doubts about my salvation and started wondering if it was all real or not. And my parents sat me down and started sharing through with scripture with me just about how salvation is not of me, it's of the Lord. But at the same time, here are evidences in your life that prove that this was genuine. And so that's some of what kind of went into the creation of those lines. But specifically, there's a passage in Revelation where Jesus is speaking to the church, I believe it's of Ephesus, and saying, I have one thing against you. You have forgotten your first love. You're forsaking your first love. And there's a formula, and God's not necessarily formulaic in the way he interacts with us, but he does kind of give a little bit of a prescription. First, you need to remember, you need to repent, and you need to return. And so those three words we kind of hunkered down on in the latter part of the movie, and you'll see that displayed out, but specifically, memory is so powerful in our lives. And we were trying to explore different ways to really illustrate memory, and my job was to try to bring the audience into these specific memories and allow the audience to experience things that we wouldn't be able to see otherwise. But memories are very powerful. Repentance is obviously key, not only in coming to Christ, but then also in our sanctification process. And then returning to the Lord. You know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that no matter how screwed up we can be sometimes, he's right there, and he's always willing to take us back. And so we wanted to display those things through this specific reality that faith leaves signs.
You know, in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament, it talks so much about remember, constantly telling you to remember what the Lord has done, and constantly, I don't know how many times you go through the Psalms, and it tells you, don't you remember what the Lord did in bringing you out of Egypt and how he brought the plagues, and he saved you through the water and all of this, over and over and over. And so that is such a big thing. And so when Brett is talking in Revelation 2 and it talks about the church at Ephesus, I mean, to me, when we were writing it, that is the formula that we wanted everybody to remember. That's why it was so important to remember. So like in the case of somebody who starts doubting their salvation, remember what it was like when you came to Christ. You know, if you really came to Christ, think back and remember, our enemy wants us to forget. Our enemy wants us to doubt. But if we can go back and look through our life and see what the Lord has done for us. I just recently, about less than a year ago, I led a lady to the Lord. And she had a very difficult childhood. She has, you know, it's taken some time to start breaking some of those old habits. And there are times when she doubts. But I continue going back and saying, have you seen any changes here? Have you seen the Lord change you here? What about this? And then she starts remembering. And she goes, yeah, okay, yeah, I am different. And just the fact that she's concerned, for one thing, is that to me, the Holy Spirit convicting her of her sin, which was helping her get back on the right track. All of those points fortunately that we were able to work that into the script.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's marvelous. We're going to take just a short break, and when we come back, I'll give Jim a chance to ask a question, but also, both Brett and Gary, if you've got more testimonials or anything like that you'd like to share, I'll give you a chance to get those ready for us, because I know we're excited to listen to them.
The best thing that ever happened to you in your life was accepting Jesus Christ. Now learn about the one who saved you and what being saved really means.
Ask the Pastor has a great teaching series titled Jesus, Salvation, and Eternal Security. The series comes in a convenient binder with 6 compact discs for your personal study. We trust you will find these lessons a great blessing. You can gain a better understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, His resurrection, and the salvation, justification, and grace that is available. Order your set at www.askthepastornow.com. That's www.askthepastornow.com. Don't delay. Order your set today.
Jim?
All right. Well, could I just play off of what you just said? Because I turned quickly to the book of Joshua, and in the first chapter, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Okay? Told him once.
Mm-hmm.
Then verse 7, be thou strong and very courageous. And then he goes on in verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good... How many times do we have to be told? So I think your point is well taken. Throughout the Bible, we have to keep remembering, don't you remember what I did in Egypt and how I brought you out? And, oh, by the way, you weren't empty-handed. So just thank you for that. That's a great point. My question is, in the scene where emotion, I believe I've got the characters correct, because one time through this film is not enough. So in the scene where emotion says to mind, you're all out of line, I couldn't help but think of Al Pacino in that movie, And Justice for All, when he says, you're out of order. He tells the judge, you're out of order, and this whole whatever. And he used a lot of profanity, but that line, and you were all great actors in this. You delivered so well, but I got to tell you, I didn't like him at first, but emotion played a great part. He convinced me. I didn't like him. And then when he delivered this line, I could see Al Pacino. Any parallel there that you guys want to tell us about?
Well, I was going to say that's my youngest son, Drew, and that's my youngest son, Drew, played the part of emotion, and Brett is my oldest son, and he played the part of heart in the movie.
Yes.
And Drew is a great actor, and so it's one thing to write the lines on a piece of paper. It's another thing to see him perform them and really put so much emotion into them. And
yes.
I think, and one thing, and I'll let Brett talk here in just a minute, but one thing I wanted to say was that this movie, along with the other movie, we don't have any stars in the movie. There are no paid actors in the movie. But the people that we selected are people who we knew could act. They've had some experience. They've done some things. And both of my sons have been in TV commercials. They've had some history in doing this. And we had the script supervisor that we mentioned earlier. He saw our first film, and he said that the acting was exceptional for Christian films especially, and he said that's attributed to your director. And Brett is very good director. He is capable of getting good performances out of people. And so, Brett, I'll let you talk the rest of the way.
Well, I was just going to mention about the character of emotion because that was a really hard one to pin down, not only when we were writing it, but then when we were shooting the film. I spent a lot of time with my brother just talking through different, usually in a film you have a character arc. Well, throughout certain scenes we had to have arcs, but then even in specific scenes for the character of emotion to kind of go all over the place at times. But one of the things that we talked about early on was how juvenile our emotions tend to be. We're very fickle with our emotions. And so that played a heavy part into the look of the character and the performance of the character. Almost at sometimes, at one moment you're feeling sympathetic for him, and the next moment you think he's psychotic. that's just the reality of who we are
right.
as human beings. And it's very important for us to not take our emotions too seriously. And don't get me wrong, God created an emotion. He gave it to us. It's a very powerful thing. But because of how sin has corrupted our emotions, They're unpredictable and unreliable. And so that's something that it's been interesting to talk with people after they've seen the movie, how they've resonated with emotion. I'm not going to say whether men or women did more, but since we all experience emotion the same way. But anyway, I mean, it's just been really cool to see that character come to life, and there's a lot more we could have done with it, but we kind of just tried to make it simple, as simple as we could.
I also wanted to add, as Brett was talking there, is that I was reminded of a quote by Adrian Rogers. He said that our emotions are the shallowest part of us, and God doesn't do his deepest work in the shallowest part. And so, you know, emotions, like Brett said, God gave us the gift of emotions. That's part of us, and we do need to have those feelings. There are times, I mean, for instance, righteous anger is a good thing. But anger in itself, we need to kind of, we have to keep that in check. Otherwise, we would just fly off the handle. I think it was Mark Twain said, anger is like an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it's stored than anything else it's poured on. And that's true. Anger can eat us up on the inside.
Good quote.
So, yeah.
Well, Gary, I was going to also mention, I want you to know that both Jim and I are very, very strong macho men. So we were able to see the film and only needed two boxes of tissues going through it. So that worked out well. You know, in these conflicts that you had, one of the things that amazed me as six members that were really going at it, it amazed me that you could have a very intense moment and then have a line that just, if you really pay attention, it's almost hilarious. One of my favorites in there is when somebody turns on memory and says, you're living in the past. I think, well, obviously, that's what memory does. But in the church service, the father and child moment, this child just has a spontaneous prayer where she says, Jesus, please do whatever you have to do to save my mommy. And I was thinking, you know, gee, are we really truly committed to do that? And so I want to give you a chance to talk about that, Gary, if you would.
Don't give it away.
Well, I have a heart for the lost. I mean, and Brad knows that we both care and want to reach people with the gospel. I mean, if we believe this stuff is true, if we believe the Bible's true, the destiny of people who don't know Christ is eternity in hell. That is horrible. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to make the film evangelistic. And so, you know, and what this little girl says in the movie, and I won't say how that all plays out, but boy, if we were all that kind of that committed. So there is a person in the movie that's not saved, but they think they're saved. I don't know if you guys know people like that, but they say, well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but there's nothing in their life that says there's no spiritual interest. You know, they go to church once a year, and, you know, you see what I'm saying? They have deceived themselves. And so that the Jesus that they talk about a lot of times is not the Jesus of the Bible. And so that's, we wanted to get that across. As Brett has said many times, there's three different people in the movie that represent three types of people in the real world. There are the people who are lost. There are the people who are saved but young and struggling. And then there are people like the character of Ray in our movie who are like the Apostle Paul. They're the discipler. And so they're the person who comes alongside the young Christian who's struggling and helps them see an eternal perspective on life. And that's what we all need. We're just passing through. This is not really our home. You know, that's a line in the movie. And so what we wanted people to see was that when you have an eternal perspective, a lot of the things that we get so bent out of shape here on earth that we cause us to make wrong decisions, we won't make those decisions if we put Christ first.
That's right.
That's interesting.
Jim, you have a question?
Yes. You know, gentlemen, Mrs. Sinclair mentioned, he always puts me first. And I want to know the significance of that line, but I'll tell you what leapt to mind when I heard her deliver that is, whenever there is a disagreement at the Simmons household, my wife is quick to remind me of Scripture, you're to love me like Christ loves the church. Okay, that's not fair, you know. So what was the significance of that line? He always puts me first, like she was puzzled, as if I don't understand why I'm not first. And I want to see if it's what I think it is.
Well, there was a reality when we were early on in making that character come to life. I didn't like the character to begin with in the very early part of the writing stage. It was the dynamic between Michael and Amy was just weird. It wasn't working correctly, and part of it was because early on in the script writing process, we had Amy totally just bent out of shape, angry about the fact that Michael is a Christian and just didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And it created a lot of problems, especially when we cut in and out of the soul so much throughout the movie. So then my dad and I started having these conversations about the fact that there are so many people walking around this earth. They think that they're saved. They think they're going to heaven when they die, but they have no relationship with Jesus. And that is actually a far more interesting dynamic when you have a marriage where one person is saved and one is not. And now
yes.
How does that dynamic play out? Because what we did in the early part of the film, we try to give some backstory about how they fell in love, how they came to know each other. And what we see is that they were each other's world. And that now all mm-hmm. of a sudden, Michael has accepted Christ as a Savior. His world has changed because now he wants to serve the Lord. But now that goes against a lot of what has taken place with Amy, his wife.
When she says
that line, a lot of it, the way I had her portray that line specifically, I wanted her to say it as if it's something she said off the cuff so many times, because he used to put me first all the time, but now there's something different. And so her cadence almost changes throughout the last part of that line, because now she's questioning what's really going on now. Why is this all different? I've seen this happen. Sadly, I've seen it happen in marriages where when you have someone who's unequally yoked, it creates such tension because the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first. And so, yes, husbands are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church, but first we have to love the Lord first. And so it can create a very unstable dynamic in a marriage. And so that's something we wanted to kind of tackle. And I've been blessed to interact with people mainly through email and things whose marriages have been impacted by this film. For those very reasons, they saw themselves where that situation was their past. It's not their present anymore, but that was their past.
Mm-hmm. Brett, would you just say when Sonia listens back to this, just tell her, see, Jim was right. Would you just say that? It'd mean a lot.
Will I get
to
in
me.
Trouble? Will I get an email from Sonia, though?
She knows I've got a bit of a warped sense of humor.
I'm going to put this out for Brett, because I think perhaps as director this was your creation. But let me ask you, I thought you did just an incredible effect, or however you want to describe it, where you sort of brought us up to speed through time. You did with a series of camera shots and clips at the beginning. You covered several years there in just moments, and yet somehow you laid a foundation that we sort of felt like we knew these characters pretty well in a few moments. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, that was actually a fun idea that was actually revisited. So when I was in college, I went to Ball State University, and David Letterman graduated from Ball State University, and so every
yes.
year he offers scholarships to the students that are studying film and video production. And so I entered the contest that year to try to get the scholarship, and I won first place for a film that I made called Timeless. And it's a simple concept of telling one seamless story through one camera motion where the camera continues to pull backwards through your time. And so I made that when I was in college, and it got me the scholarship, but it also kind of gave me some different connections. And so when my dad and I were sitting down to try to write these characters' backstory, we were struggling because you don't want to spend too much time on that. You got to kind of get through it. And my dad said, well, Brett, we just need to use the timeless effect that you did in college and bring that to life. And so we wrote the various scenes, and then I tried to visualize it in a way that would be quick enough and interesting enough to keep the audience engaged. So that's kind of how that came about.
Well, thank you. That's
it's
wonderful.
One of those things you have to see. It's one of those things you have to see to really understand it. Yeah. So the camera's constantly moving backwards. You're watching a scene, and that scene becomes a photograph. And then you keep going back, and then that there's more people that are holding the photograph, and that scene becomes a TV screen. And you see that you're watching a video, and then you keep coming back. So that's how that whole thing works, if you can imagine it. But you have to see it because it is seamless, and Brett does a great job with that.
Well, you know, Gary, I think you're absolutely right. You have to see it to really understand it and appreciate it. We've told 5 people how they could get a copy by just simply signing up for the Right Last newsletter. Maybe you could tell them how they might attach it from the Amazon perspective, some of the things that happened just this week.
Yeah, so we just had a really major breakthrough in the release of the film. And so you know, we're in a stage of film marketing where DVDs are kind of going by the wayside a little bit, but there's an exciting new opportunity for customers to be able to watch a bunch of movies online. And one of those outlets is Amazon Prime. And so we have just been picked up by Amazon Prime. So anybody with a Prime membership can watch the movie for completely free. You can go on there, watch the movie for free, and you got it right there, the whole hour and a half right there in front of you. You can't beat that deal. If you don't have a Prime membership, you can also purchase the DVD through Amazon, you can rent the movie through Amazon, or you can purchase the digital copy through Amazon. And the reason I'm pushing Amazon so much right now is because one of the biggest heartbeats that we have about this film is we want to see a harvest of souls. And the only way you can really get that is you've got to scatter a lot of seed and get that in front of a lot of people. Well, right now, Amazon is our biggest outlet to an audience that is worldwide. And so what we're hoping is that if people go on and they start streaming The War Within or they purchase The War Within through Amazon, that's going to get Amazon's attention. And that's going to encourage them to promote the movie even more, which would then increase the viewership to even larger amounts of people. And so we're really excited about this opportunity. We hope people will take advantage of it. But that's, there's also a lot of other places that you can watch The War Within. If you're a person who wants to get the DVD, like I said, you can order it through Amazon or our website, still in Lifeway bookstores and Family Christian bookstores and different things like that. And I would encourage you to get the DVD if you want to. If you enjoyed the movie, get the DVD because there's over an hour's worth of bonus features on the DVD that goes into not only the creation of the movie, but kind of some of the things that went into the thought process of the theological aspect of what we were doing with making the movie.
Well, that's marvelous.
Well, this question, gentlemen, and I picked up on this, and I hope I'm accurate in this, so please forgive me if I am not. The film, there was a time when Michael was very vulnerable. He was having so much doubt. His life collapsed. He lost his syndication. He lost his wife. He lost his, well, we won't go into all the details. There was a part, though, that he was looking at a TV and flipping channels, perhaps, and there was an evangelist on TV that was preaching prosperity. Was that intentional?
Yeah.
Are you trying to teach us something?
I'm poking fun. I was warned that might actually offend some of our audience, but I got to call it what it is. I mean, that is just. it's just not scriptural, and we want to be people by the book. And so, I used that to poke fun. And that actually is a real – that's actually – the guy playing that part is actually a real pastor. And he was
very –
he's
not a
record
gospel preacher. I do have to ask, that wasn't a live broadcast from Bethesda Baptist Church by any chance, was it?
No, that was not.
Now, there were no pastors injured on this project, correct?
That's right.
That is correct.
No horses hurt, no pastors hurt.
I hate to have to bring this up, but we're down to just about 3 minutes left. So, Gary, if you would take a minute, and then Brett, if you'd take a minute, just wrap up, and any last things you'd like to share with our audience.
Well,
I'll go first.
Go ahead, Brett.
I'll just go first because I got some comments right in front of me from Amazon right now. I'll just kind of rip through some of these subject lines to kind of give people a taste of what other people are saying about the movie. I mean, don't take my word for it, but here's some of the subject lines about the movie. Absolutely epic. An allegory for the ages. The War Within is truly inspired by God. Be prepared. Great movie. And there's other comments. One gentleman said that he's watched a score of films, and this is easily in his top five of all time. And people go on and on. You can go on to Amazon. You can go on to different places and read reviews of what people are saying about the film. It's not just an entertainment factor. You will be entertained by watching the movie. But God's going to speak to you if you watch this movie. That's just the recurring theme that we keep seeing from people. Even we have a pretty high score rating on Amazon, but we also have a pretty high score rating on IMDb as well. Compared to most Christian films, most Christian films can't get above a 5 out of 10 on IMDb. We have a 6.8 rating on IMDb, which is more secular-driven than Christian-driven. And that should speak volumes to what is happening with the reality of this movie. And this is something that when we were in the early creation of the movie, we surrendered the project as an offering to the Lord. And we said, Lord, you do what you want to do with it. And we surrendered it more to Scripture because there's not a whole lot that I can do as a creative person to impact someone's life. Movies are powerful, but I can't change anybody's life with a movie. But the moment we start integrating God's Word and specifically the gospel, now all of a sudden we can start changing people's lives with movies. And that's in the heartbeat of who we are and as an organization and as my dad and I, as we've worked through over the course of years together on these different projects.
Well done. Well said.
And I just wanted to follow up with that is that, you know, the media, the medium itself is not good or evil. It's just the medium. It's who is behind it and who's making films. So my question is, why should Satan have a monopoly on it? Let's use the medium to present the gospel, to present hope to people instead of destruction. And so your listeners could help us if they were to go to Amazon Prime, watch the movie, and then leave us a comment. The more comments that we get, the more people watch it, we'll get better promotion on the Amazon site, which will help us reach more of an audience.
Yes.
So that, you know, like Brett has said in the past, this has the gospel in it. It doesn't do any good if it sits on a shelf. The only way.
Thank you all very much for spending this time with us. I'm afraid, Gary, Brett, we need to cut this off. But again, just thank you so much for the work you've done, and we look forward to hearing great things coming about this. And encourage our listeners to join us next week as we continue our study about angels, God's messengers. Good night.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. www.jimsimmons.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.